For those of you that don't know my little sweetheart, this is the little girl that all of you heard many things about. This is my grandbaby, Caitlin, the one that was technically killed in the car wreck in 2001. I wondered, her face was tore all to pieces, and I mean, it was just so sad. Her brainstem severed, eyes jerked out of her brain, skull crushed in five places, and all those things. And didn't the Lord do a good job putting her back together? This is what happens when Jesus shows up. You know, in fact, I asked him in John 15:7, when I walked in there that day and saw her little face tore all to pieces, I said, Lord, you said in John 15:7, if your words remain in me and if I remain in you, then I can ask you anything and you will do it for me. Is that what he said? Yes. In John 15:7. So by faith, I asked the Lord to heal her little face. I said, now, Lord, I know when she grows up, no little girl wants to grow up with scars all over her face. I said, I know she'll want some beautiful, smooth skin because she's a girl. So I said, Lord, I ask you to do a mighty miracle of restoration on her little face. I do not want a single scar to appear. I don't want a scab to appear. I want the skin to grow back to skin. Somebody said, you're telling God what to do. No, he told me to ask for what I wanted. That's what he told me. And so I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to put skin back to skin and ask you to take every red mark off. Now, her face was twice its size when I asked him this, and it was blood red all over. And within 2 weeks, there was not a mark. That little face looked as beautiful as it does right now within 2 weeks. The swelling was gone. No scabs, no scars, no nothing. And all I can say, thank you, Jesus. He does good work. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can go back over, Grandma. Go ahead. Grandma's right back yonder. Yeah, go over here, this side. Grandma's over there. Okay, praise the Lord. They all said she'll never walk again. She'll never live. She can't live. She can't go anywhere. She can't do anything. Looks to me like she's doing pretty good, huh? That's our Jesus. He's an awesome God. Praise the King. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you that you are our Lord and our God and our King. And Lord, thank you for what you've done through your Son, Jesus. Lord, help us to continue to get a hold of what you've done, your mighty power, what you've done for mankind on this earth. And Lord, we have just let this slip through our fingers. So Lord, help us to walk holy and obedient to your word. And I praise you and thank you for doing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now then, I would like to start out today. How many of you in here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that you know that you know that you're a born-again Christian? You know that you know that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Okay, now if you don't know that, before you leave here today, you need to make sure you know that. If there's anybody here that doesn't know that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, because these promises that we're going to talk about today are for the believers. This promises. Now, I want to tell you to start out with, God started out revealing to me many years ago about healing. I was a Southern Baptist. Now, we don't talk about healing in the Baptist church. We never did, never have. I never heard anything about healing. But God began to reveal to me so clearly in his word, and he began to speak to me audibly, that his word meant exactly what he said. And it was an amazing thing how God began to talk to me. In fact, when he started speaking to me for 8 years after he spoke to me 4 times in 8 years, and I didn't tell anybody, even my wife, that God had spoken to me. And you might say, why? I said, because I thought they would think I was crazy. If I told you that I'm hearing from God, wait a minute now, Thurman. We might need to take you down to Terrell and lock you up. And that's what I thought they might think, and so I didn't tell anybody. But in the process, God was talking to me. He was telling me things, and I was hearing a voice that was as clear as my own voice and just as audible as it could be. So as he began to reveal these things to me, I'm looking in his word, and his word is teaching me these things, and I'm wondering why is it that I'm seeing the Word of God in an entirely different light in many areas of the Bible than anybody else that I've ever seen. You know, I didn't understand that. And so I thought, I got to be wrong. There's no way that I can be right, and so many other people that are going to seminary, I mean, they're wrong and I'm right? No, it can't be. I mean, there are many and I'm one. You know, so if God's a healer, why aren't they teaching us these things? And so I thought, Lord, there's something wrong here, Lord. It just can't be. But yet the Word made these statements. And so as I begin to look at this and see these things, I began to study. I thought, Lord, it's got to be that I don't understand the Bible correctly. So I've got to study it more and more and more in detail. So I began to, it drove me to the Word. And so I started reading and studying God's Word 5 to 15 hours every week for the next 10 years. I mean, that's what I consider probably diligence. You know, 5 to 15 hours every week for 10 years. I mean, I went to some pretty good schools and I studied, but I didn't study that much for that long for no course that I ever was in. But the Bible's a pretty thick book. And so I began to read it and study it. And after, as I read it and studied it, I began to see things in it that I certainly didn't understand. And I want us to start off today in the book of Galatians in chapter 5 in the King James Bible. And I want to start in Galatians 5. And I want to just read down through there and I want to see some things. And I want to discuss some things with you. And I want you to see what you think these things mean. In Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Well, to me, when I read something that says I have liberty, that means I have freedom. You know, and I thought, wow. You know, well, of course, today, when I think about this, when I think about liberty, you know, we are supposed to be Christians. And we are supposed to be American Christians. Our country was founded on liberty and freedom for all. Well, we don't have it no more, do we? It's going away very quickly. And every day we're losing more and more freedom. It's just amazing what's happening. In fact, if I'm not wrong, if I didn't hear this wrong, I think it's tonight that our president is going to address the gay and lesbian crowd tonight in Washington. I believe tonight's the night. And then tomorrow, they're going to have a big, humongous parade in Washington, D.C., gay and lesbians. Who would have ever dreamed that the president, well, I guess you can call him that if you want to. As far as I'm concerned, he's not my president. He's an illegitimate president. He does not even have a birth certificate. And I don't know how we let this happen. But, you know, he is taking away your and my freedoms every day. So when the Word of God says we have liberty or freedom, we only have freedom in Christ. There's no such thing anymore, it appears, as freedom. And if we keep on going like we're going, I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen in America in very short order. There's going to be a revolution in America. Yeah. Every once in a while, freedom has to be paid for by the blood of men. And it's always been like that. There's always somebody that wants to take your freedom away from you. Well, let me tell you, if you're seeing it in the physical, you think there's always somebody wanting to take your freedom in Christ away from you? Absolutely. Yeah. You know, that liberty was bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. But most of us are like I was most of my life as a Christian. I lived in bondage. In other words, I lived in Egypt. That's where most of us in Christians are. You look at that picture, we go back and stop and think about the picture when the Jewish people were living in Egypt, they were in bondage. I mean, you know, somebody told them what to do, how to do it, how many bricks to make every day. Those people were in bondage. Well, they cried out to God for years. And finally, after 400 years, God says, okay, I'll deliver you. And so he came and he sent Moses. And he showed them a few miracles. I mean, they weren't very significant miracles, were they? Oh, they were, huh? Pretty significant miracles. You think turning the entire river into blood was a pretty significant miracle? You think having frogs in your house, in your oven, and everywhere else, everywhere you open your door, you can't walk for the frogs? You think about the lice and all the different things that God did. Those were pretty significant miracles. And then he come down to the very last one, and the very last one, he killed the firstborn in every household that wouldn't put the blood over the door. Somebody says, you know, I just can't believe something like that ever happened. Well, it did happen. And these people saw it. I mean, they saw all these miracles. And then they come up to the Red Sea, and now then they can't get across, and God tells Moses to do something, so he holds up his staff, and the water separates, and the ground gets dry, and 2 or 3 million people and their animals all go running across that sea to the other side on dry ground. And then when Pharaoh's army pulls in behind them, God releases the water and comes over and drowns them all to show, hey, you don't have to be concerned. I'll take care of you. You don't have to even fight the battle. I'll fight it for you. And they saw all those things. And then he brings them up to the promised land. This is where God wants them. He had them in bondage. And they cried out. And so he's going to deliver them. Now he's bringing them through and showing them all kinds of miracles. Everything. And do you know, the scripture also says, now I watched the Ten Commandments several times, but it's not accurate according to the scriptures in several places. But one of them is when they brought the people out, there was many old and weak and feeble people. You know that? You know, they had them on mats and in little carts. But that's not scripture. Scripture says when he brought them out, there was not one weak or one feeble among them. I don't care how old you were. If you were 80 or 90 years old, you were a ball of fire. Amen. You wasn't riding on that horse or that cart back there with your legs wouldn't work, and you was leading your animals and you was going out. You were strong.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled Flesh and Spirit War Against Each Other in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.